Ratfold, Judge Siegel, the Honorable Louise Devery Bjorkman presiding.
Good morning. Please be seated. And welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. It is Thursday, April 17th, and we have four matters on our calendar this morning for oral argument. The first is Constance Johnson versus Joseph Chris Hernandez. Counsel, you will each have 15 minutes to present your argument, and counsel for appellant, you will have 5 minutes in addition for rebuttal. It's important that you state your name and identify the party you represent when you begin your argument because we are making an audio recording. That is the only recording that's permitted for this argument today. And the other thing I would tell you by way of instruction is that the podium can be raised or lowered. There's a button in the front of it to meet your needs. So with that, counsel for appellant, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is David Mortensen. I'm here on behalf today of the appellant, Joseph Hernandez. This case is about protecting due process rights, specifically my client's due process rights related to a piece of property in Lakeland, Minnesota, in Washington County. The sole issue before the court today is whether the respondents properly effectuated service on Mr. Hernandez of a notice of termination of contract for deed. The parties in this case entered into a contract for deed for real property in 2021. After an alleged default and the performance of that contract for deed, the respondents then attempted to serve notice of process or that termination of contract for deed on Mr. Hernandez. At the time that Mr. Hernandez was attempted to be served at the property, he was no longer a resident at that property. That is confirmed by the notice or certificate of non-service by the sheriff, which is Plaintiff's Exhibit 5 in the district court record below. There is no other record or finding or fact that shows that Mr. Hernandez was properly served with the notice of termination of contract for deed. It wasn't published against him. It wasn't given to him. It wasn't mailed to him. And as we know from the contract for deed statute, that service of a termination of a contract for deed needs to be served like a summons in a district court matter, straight out of Rule 4. So that could be personal service, substitute service, or in some areas, publication, which is allowed for in the contract for deed statute. None of these things happened. At the time that Mr. Hernandez was attempted to be served, he was not a resident of the property, and Ms. Hicks, who was his former partner at the time, was not authorized to accept service on his behalf.
The district court seemed to use it, in addition to the termination of the contract for deed, also lists in its findings of fact that your client didn't comply with 504B.181 by giving notice when he left the premises. How does that statute inform the issues before us?
I'm not sure that that statute really applies here in this situation, Your Honor. The reason being that this is a contract for deed matter. And when we're talking about 504B181, we're talking about provisions of a lease. And there was no lease between the parties. The relationship and the possessory rights related to the property itself are governed under the contract for deed. So So in response to that, the statute is irrelevant here for the analysis.
This wasn't a landlord-tenant relationship.
Correct. It was not a landlord-tenant relationship. And to try and bootstrap those landlord-tenant statutes into this relationship, when you already have a statute that governs contracts for deed, is not the proper analysis.
So I have a slightly different question. This is an eviction action, though, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So your client took possession at some point?
Client did take possession at some point,
right.
Yes.
And that, I certainly have read the transcript that was provided in this case. We don't have a lot of details about that. Is that relevant that your client took possession of the property again?
Oh, you're saying after after he had left and come back? No, I don't think that's relevant here for purposes of that. The basis for the eviction action was the allegation that Mr. Hernandez no longer
had... When I said relevant, just to clarify my question, sorry.
Oh, it's sure.
The timeline, you know, the timeline in which your client retook possession of the property. Because since obviously you're emphasizing that he was not a resident at the time that service was attempted by the deputy sheriff.
Right.
But he was apparently a resident later, retook possession.
Correct. He went back into the property, and I guess for purposes of that, I wouldn't say that he retook possession in the sense that he took it as a tenant. He had the rights under as a...
Wasn't suggesting as a tenant.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking again about you're making a point of him not being a resident at a period of time. Apparently, he became a resident again later. Is that correct?
My understanding is at some point after, yes, he did occupy or move back into the property.
And just to focus again for a second on the eviction action, is the question that you're raising today, and I used to stated it articulately about service of the notice of cancellation of the contract for deed, is that within the scope of review of an eviction action? I mean, those are summary proceedings. We have a very limited analysis of those summary proceedings.
You're correct that housing court matters are the limited scope that they are there for possession of the property. However, the underlying basis that was brought forth by respondents for removing Mr. Hernandez from the property was that the contract for deed was properly terminated. So I think for purposes of determining whether there was a valid basis to issue an order for eviction, the court had to look at whether the contract for deed had been properly terminated. There is some tension there, though, that a court in limited jurisdiction like the eviction court isn't necessarily sitting in the position of determining title. And I think what I would say to that here is the court is deciding that Mr. Hernandez can no longer be in the property because the contract for deed was terminated. We say that the contract for deed was improperly terminated because of the lack of service. Therefore, there was no basis to issue an eviction order. Any issues related to whether the contract for deed rights that Mr. Hernandez has by redeeming from that or taking other action, that's for another district court to decide after the court here decides whether service was proper or not.
So you mentioned quickly in your answer that whether there was proper termination of the contract for deed or cancellation of the contract for deed is essential, I think, or necessary to the district court's eviction order?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So I'm looking at the copy of the district court's order, and it states that the cancellation of the contract for deed was appropriately recorded. Right, and from that,
right,
as I understand the law in the area, with some prima facie evidence, right, of proper cancellation. Is that correct? Is that what the district court? I'm trying to understand the district court's analysis.
Correct. That's what the court had said, that it was properly recorded. But that is when you look at the contract for deed termination statute under 559.21. There's steps that you have to go through under subdivision 4. In order to properly terminate. One of the things in that contract for deed termination is that you can record evidence of the proper cancellation or termination of that contract for deed in the public record, because then the public knows the prior contract for deed that was entered into and recorded is now terminated. But that recording is not the trigger for whether termination was proper. Recording is notice to the public record, because if that was the case, if properly recording it, I could go record something and skip the service step and not have to actually complete service on the buyer under the contract for deed.
Are you familiar with what's required to properly record a notice of cancellation of contract for deed?
As far as the recording steps, as far as submitting it, I guess yes. going through the process, submitting it to the county recorder or the Register of Titles, so it becomes placed in the memorial of records for that property or that parcel.
So I guess maybe I'm asking it too indirectly. Are you contending that it was recorded in this case, correct?
Correct.
The cancellation was recorded. So was it properly recorded? Was it improperly recorded? Help me out.
Sure. I mean, for as far as steps go, I guess one could say that the act of submitting it and having it recorded with the county recorder was, quote, proper. But part of that form is are proofs of service at the end of that termination form. And that end of that termination form, you're supposed to fill out how proper service of that termination was given to the buyer. That in itself, I don't think was proper. That did not correctly or properly indicate that service was complete. So regardless of whether the recording was done, the information contained in the termination was improper. Now, I would add, since this is abstract property and not Torrens, there is no real gatekeeper at the front end. When a submission of a recorded document is given to a county recorder, not a registrar or not an examiner, they essentially go through the process and record it. So long as the legal description is correct and it appears on its face that it was signed properly, meaning signed usually by a notary public, because under Section 507 of Minnesota statutes, there are requirements for notarizing signatures. So to that extent, I mean, I could go file any affidavit with the county recorder on any property that I wanted to, and if I have the correct legal description and it's signed, they likely won't reject it. Torrens is a different matter because of the way it's structured. So to answer your question, I think the steps, submitting it, getting it recorded, sure, I guess in its most simple form, it was recorded. I think because the termination did not include a proper recitation of the service of process, which we know from the certificate of non-service, that the recording itself, legally speaking, was improper.
I've got one other question about the record, and then I'll leave you alone.
Sure.
To continue your argument. So in this case, we have a two-day bench trial, right?
My understanding is yes. I did not represent Mr. Hernandez
but
at the trial.
But you've read the record, haven't you, counsel? Okay.
Correct.
So we have a two-day bench trial. I have the transcript just from the second day. That's all that was submitted and filed to this court.
Correct.
All right.
That's what was ordered.
So you weren't the trial lawyer. So you don't know what happened on day one.
I don't know what happened on day one, but I surmise from the transcript that I think it was a September hearing, that at the hearing, the parties appeared. Mr. Hernandez requested a continuance. The referee granted the continuance and reset it for an October 10th follow-up trial date.
Well, the reason I ask is because the district court makes a comment in the day two of the trial to the testimony taken, I think, of Ms. Johnson, as I recall. We don't have any testimony by Ms. Johnson. If that happened on day one, we don't have it. I have no idea whether it's relevant to the arguments you're making. That's a problem for you as appellant, not for me. Your obligation is to provide the court with the record that we need to decide. So where do we stand on that?
Where we stand on that, I think, is from the standpoint is twofold. One is the testimony related to non-service, which is the specific issue from the eviction court and now before this court. That specific issue relates to the testimony and the documented evidence. Really, the strength of that is the documented evidence, the certificate of non-service by the sheriff. There's also the fact that in the court's findings, or maybe lack of findings, that the only comment is that the termination was properly recorded. That's really the only finding, I guess, that this court would end up potentially reviewing. Ms. Johnson's not going to have testimony related to service. She wasn't in charge of service. That was her counsel's job, who asked the sheriff to make those attempts. So my understanding is there is no evidence there. Certainly, I understand the court's comment that that's a record issue for us, but if there was something that was that would rebut the arguments here, that is certainly something that respondents could have ordered the transcript for to make sure that that got into the record. That said, I don't think that that testimony, if there was testimony, is relevant to the issue of service.
It's practical matter, setting aside, I understand the evidence of non-service, I understand that, but as a practical matter, didn't your client have an opportunity to respond in this eviction proceeding to the assertion that he defaulted on his obligations under the contract for deed?
That he could have, Your Honor, but that goes back to the issue that the eviction court is one of limited jurisdiction, only related to issues concerning occupancy of the property. Now, if this was in a perfect world, and if Mr. Hernandez was in fact served, he would have had notice. His 60-day clock would have ticked and started to count away, and at that point, he could have brought an action to contest the expiration or the termination of the contract for deed.
Or cured the deficiencies, or.
Absolutely, or cure the deficiency. He didn't have that opportunity. And that's essentially what we're asking for, is we just want to make sure he has the opportunity to do that. Because the harm to him in losing his rights in this is basically paramount and a huge problem, because he can't resurrect that. The issue for the respondents is they would just have to reserve notice. I see my time has expired.
You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Counsel for respondent, you may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Patrick Smith. I am representing Constance and Thomas Johnson, who are the fee owners of the subject real property, 2141 Itasca in Lakeland, Minnesota, Washington County. Just running through the facts that briefly here is that the Washington County Sheriff, it is admitted, did make attempted services, and from that filed what's called a certificate of non-service in August of 24. On information and belief, Mr. Hernandez had abandoned the property sometime a year prior, August of 2023. Mr. Hernandez was at the time that the certificate, the service on Amy Hicks, who was living in the property with her children, he was not at the property or residing at the property. He had something, it's called the Danco. You may know, domestic abuse, no contact with Miss Hicks. And so that was, she was very cooperative working with me and getting served.
But there was no, you're not arguing that she was authorized to accept personal service on behalf of appellant?
No, I am.
So why wouldn't you have turned to service by publication? I mean, I understand in your brief you assert that the appellant was trying to evade service and arguments to that, but why didn't you serve? Isn't that what publication is designed to, those situations, what service by publication is designed to address?
With that said, I have it here, Your Honor, the posted and completed affidavit of service and
but that's
being published.
That's the eviction action, right?
This is the publication through the last option you have is that you can publish it with the newspaper and get an affidavit of service by them. And in this instance, it's under 90 days. What had happened here, I'll jump ahead then, is what had happened here is that we again had thought that this was over and that Mr. Hernandez had vacated the premises, and that went smoothly. And then when this next lawsuit was commenced, we...
You mean the eviction action? Is that what you're talking about?
Nope, the eviction action.
When you say next lawsuit, what do you mean by that?
Well, Mr. Hernandez hired Mr. Mortensen, and a new lawsuit has commenced here to appeal the eviction. I got called, we got called sometime, let's call it, I believe, in November, and that's when I first made contact, or Mr. Mortensen made contact with me. From that, what we tried to do is figure out how to, that he's, she's abandoned the property, and he had started wanting to appeal this. The next thing that happened as we moved along is we could not agree on, I completed the posting and publication because he, counsel for Mr. Hernandez would not, stated that he did not have authority to accept service of process, something I had never heard of. And Mr. Johnson has been then served and told, and now it's been published.
Posting and there's, and then publication, excuse me, of what? Of the notice of cancellation of the contract for deed?
Yes.
But Mr. Hernandez was available for the eviction action. So I get, I'm confused now about what your argument is.
So, again, my clients and I thought that this case was over and done with in the hearings that went into briefly into October to get the final eviction, and then he moved out of the property. Then he found himself a lawyer, Mr. Mortensen here, and they started a new action, an appeal, and that's why we're here today. And so
the appeal is the appeal to this court?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I'm
not a hearing officer in at district court. Okay.
Correct. So what I, that's what they did, well, that's why we're standing here, and I just, on the publication portion, I tried to work with them to get it sent over. I was told they would not receive it, so therefore, and I do not know where he lives, and so you can publish is your last option, and I can cite you, and but you guys know it's 559.21, subdivision 4 A and B.
If I may, it sounds like, but maybe I'm misunderstanding, that you're saying that you published notice of the cancellation of the contract for deed after the district court's eviction order?
Yeah, after, once they started a new, this appeal.
All right, got
so
it.
So I am
so in, just to make you aware.
That's that
so
time.
So we are only, our record on appeal is limited to what was filed in the district court.
Correct.
Within this eviction action.
Correct.
We do not have whatever you're referring to. So you might want to just set that aside. We can't consider it, counsel. I mean, just so you're,
nope, I know,
you're clear. Okay.
I just,
so do you want, with that in mind, do you want to go ahead with your argument? I'm still
sure.
Confused.
I'm trying to get this case done. I apologize that it's
so
even
so let me
here.
Ask you this, counsel. Are we looking at a it's necessary to remand it?
No.
How we can't consider the publication of any service by publication that happened after the court's eviction order. So how do we, in your, you would like us to affirm the court's eviction order. How does this court do that in light of apparently no service of the notice of cancellation of contract for deed?
right, for that time period, but I guess that's where we're at today, is that we're trying to, I can walk through the facts that occurred, including the hearing that was that occurred in Washington County that you're talking about. Correct.
So,
I will, if you
so
want to.
So as of the time that the district court issued the eviction order that's on appeal, evicting Mr. Hernandez?
So this would be all prior to that hearing. I'll just focus on that.
Right.
Okay.
And did you want to make your argument about service in that time frame? Because I'm unclear. It sounds to
okay,
me as
so
you're
I,
saying
Washington
that Mr. Hernandez was not properly served. You had only the certificate of non-service.
Correct.
Okay.
So from that, in August of 24, Mr. Hernandez moved back into the property after after they tried to locate him because he wasn't there. He then moved into the property, and that's Then he was evicted. That's the hearing that we're talking about. And so he moved in, and we're just trying to identify on your behalf at this time that we did not have anything, no payments were made, the failure to pay on the contract payments, the monthly payments, the utilities, the real estate taxes, the septic and water tests that were required, and...
I think I understand, counsel. I read the record, and I understand that your record on default on the contract for deed. I don't think, and tell me where I'm wrong, I don't think that that issue is in front of the court. The only issue in front of this court is whether the district court properly issued an eviction order. So turning to that, it seems to me the argument of opposing counsel is that there was no evidence or proof of proper service of the notice of cancellation of contract for deed, and that in light of that, the eviction order was improper. That is definitely the argument that was made to the district court. So help me out, counsel. What's your response to that?
With that said, the eviction was that he was in possession of the premises, and that we wanted him to be removed, and because of non-payment of anything in his contract terms. So that gave the district court enough to identify that we're talking over 2 years of non-payment and non-service on a property. So that's 55921 sub 4 A and B. Resident individual is departed or cannot be found in the state, you know, is where we're at. And that's as far as we're only going to focus on the eviction order, his tenancy. I cited one other thing that was for residential tenants, and whether or not he is a residential tenant could be considered. So,
well, given the fact that the contract for deed termination statute 559.21 seems the one most applicable to the situation
Correct.
Here,
yeah.
Wouldn't we look there in terms of service and notice and other timing requirements? Wouldn't we look to that statute rather than landlord-tenant law?
Right. Well, with focusing on that statute as I've briefly shared is that we are in a time period of trying to recancel, but that's in the past and in the future. That's we're hopefully going to come up with something, parties, and get something settled here. I don't see how an eviction case should be, you know, a big issue here for the court either.
How do we get around the service requirements in 559.21? I mean, that's what you're asking us to do, is to ignore the service requirement. And I understand the frustration of your clients.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I totally get it. And apparently there's, you know, it's undisputed that the terms of the contract for deed were violated. But how do we get around the service requirement in the statute? And it was asserted by Mr. Hernandez at the eviction proceeding, so there's no argument of forfeiture or waiver.
I agree with you, but this is we shouldn't be at this level for an eviction action, and that's where I'm going to rest, and I've been continuing to try to work with co-counsel to get this thing figured out. I guess I'm not supposed to talk about the future, so I'll rest, unless you have a question.
I don't see any.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for appellant, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honor, or may it please the court, the issue I want to touch on specifically here is the eviction is a big deal. It determines whether Mr. Hernandez has rights in the contract for deed or not. And those are big things. I don't think those can just be waived over or discarded at any step. I think that's why it's important for the court to have this in front of it, even though it does seem to be a very straightforward binary issue. That said, the eviction was brought on the basis of the termination of the contract for deed. My understanding is it was not based on the abandonment. It was based on that the contract for deed terms were allegedly not followed, that service of the termination was done, and therefore the court had a legal basis to entertain issuing an order for eviction. That legal basis did not exist because the termination was improperly served. There is no evidence that Mr. Hernandez abandoned the property. I don't know why that necessarily came out or is part of the court's order or raised here under 504B.181. The reason for that is under the timeline, Mr. Hernandez did have to leave the property. Based on his understanding, his rights to occupy the property were not terminated. He didn't abandon them. He came back to the property, and after the termination was allegedly served and that the respondents allegedly had a basis to evict, they brought it to the eviction court. If the court has any questions about what happened after my client appealed, I certainly can answer those, happy to, but I would agree that those are not before the court because they weren't part of the record up until the time of the eviction order. I would ask the court to reverse the district court and determine that service was not effectuated on Mr. Hernandez. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you both for your arguments. We will take the matter under advisement and issue our decision within the statutory 90-day period.